Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN app, smart speakers, your podcasts, everywhere. There's communication in the multiverse. You hear Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Good morning, guys.
Morning, morning, sir.
Feels like a long week just for sports news off the field, doesn't it?
It really was a lot of sports news off the field. We were talking about that yesterday on NFL Live. We really didn't do a lot of football stuff. It was off the field. It was this, it was that, you know, coming up, whether it was Rodgers, whether it was the Henry Ruggs incident, or whether it was OBJ. It's just
Sarver now. Sarver.
It was just over. But the great thing about being in sports is you always got something to talk about.
Yeah, the Ruggs thing is a very unflike. I don't wish that we didn't have that to talk
Absolutely.
About, obviously.
We didn't even get into that deep because, I mean, we seriously had so many other things to talk about.
And also, I remember coming off, was it last week? There were so many sports stories, like when the Jets, you know, week eight, the Jets beat the Bengals. There, I remember thinking, like, the Jets beat the Bengals, which was crazy. And that
After
was like
the Bengals
tenth,
came out beating the Ravens.
Yeah, and that was like the 10th biggest story just on the field.
So the Jets were on their way to the Super Bowl.
Mike White, Hall of Fame.
Mike White, this is such a Jets story. Like, you get rid of Darnold, who you drafted high up, and then, okay, you don't want it, so they get rid of him. Zach Wilson's going to be the guy, and then the left tackle gets hurt. Becton's all world. He gets hurt, and Zach Wilson's not looking good, and the Jets are losing, but they come up with Mike White. Oh, this is
Mike
feeling
White.
Good.
Got to tell you,
then he gets
Matt
hurt.
Matt LaFleur, the second coming of Bill Walsh, goes upstairs and calls the plays.
Can I tell you yesterday? So I had a little issue with my daughter. She's always falling. She got a stitch in her chin, and I'm listening to the radio on the way back, and they're like, this Mike White situation. This could be like Jeremy Lin. Remember Jeremy Lin just took the world by storm? And I'm like, oh, we're going down this alleyway.
That's what Evan was trying. Evan was trying to do that to me the other day. Like, you think there's going to be a quarterback controversy when Zach Wilson comes? I said, man, if you don't sit down somewhere.
Oh, here he comes.
Oh, come on.
you're like a fish on a hook, Evan. That's what my dad used to say. Like one of the brothers would antagonize the other one, we have four brothers in the family.
What's with people
like a fish
putting
on a hook?
Like, what's with people putting words in other people's mouths on this show? That is not what I said. Did not cause a quarterback controversy.
No, you wanted to, and I wouldn't let you go.
What did you say?
No.
What did you say?
What I said was, does Mike White's performance, and if he plays well again against the Colts, is that the best thing for the Jets because it allows them to sit Zach Wilson and let him learn for the rest of the year?
You're trying to cause a controversy.
I don't. That
like
doesn't sound.
That's
if that's what Evan said, that
is what I said.
You know, he didn't say that. He's saying that now.
Evan, lie detector test. To tell the truth, were you germ spreading a little bit? It's okay, a little bit. Just tell the truth.
Oh, of course I was germ spreading a little bit. But I think my take was germ spreading. Like,
I mean,
is this good?
He's a talk radio, sports radio producer. That's his job.
He
is to germ spread.
This is his squad.
Is this good for the Jets that Mike White has played? I know he got hurt last night on the second drive. It was a wrist injury.
Wrist,
so
yeah.
When he came through and followed through, his hand hit the defender's helmet on the touchdown pass, and he couldn't grip the ball.
Evan, I got to tell you, he seems like he has control in the pocket. I know a couple passes, you know, weren't great, but, I mean, for the most part, like, he looked the part.
He did.
I got to be honest,
he looked good.
He was fine. It was like, oh, okay.
But he looked great compared to what's been consistently
there.
You
want to start a controversy? I'll start a controversy with the Jets quarterback situation. If this is what Mike White is, the Jets should have given him an opportunity to win the starting job in training camp. They should not have handed it to Zach Wilson. If you want to start a controversy, that's the controversy. The controversy is that they handed Zach Wilson the job and never even considered that Mike White could have been the better quarterback for this season alone.
But this is why I said to you, and you completely just lit me up with a blowtorch about the organization and Joe Douglas seeming like they don't know what the hell they're doing. You trade for Joe Flacco, then you don't dress him. Like, this organization right now, to me,
they don't want to mess up the hair.
They don't want to mess up the hair. It's just not, I don't want to call it dysfunctional.
Yeah.
You can call it that.
After so many decades of towering success, Key, every team is entitled to a down year or two like the Jets are having now.
But every year, we go through these same conversations about the Jets not being able to figure something out. And then they move on from the head coach, eventually move on from the general manager, and they start the clock all over again.
And that's why there's so much pressure on Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh, because a lot of Jets fans like me are tired of hearing the word, well, it's time to be patient. I was patient through Geno Smith. I was patient through Sam Darnold. I was patient through Christian Hackenberg not even seeing the field. I have been patient.
No, but this is the issue. What Evan's describing is the issue with poorly run franchises. It's a double. It's like a double whammy. You've been bad for so long. You've been bad for so long that the fan base does not have as much patience as another fan base might, even when patience, like you bring up at Duke, right, Jay, where Krzyzewski, if you didn't have patience with him, but a program that's been good can take 2 or 3 years, see what a guy's got. A program that's been bad for decades. The fan base not trying to hear it.
I wonder why they can't get it right.
Yeah.
It's above Joe Douglas.
I understand that, but I don't understand.
Above Joe Douglas.
I don't understand why the owners just don't see that we're not doing this
again,
right.
Just again, dumb luck would say you're right sometimes, right? Well, and they never are.
But there's fact to back up that there's meddling. Like, the Jets could have hired Matt Rhule. They did not because they wanted to pick his offensive coordinator.
But is there meddling?
Like, those are the things that are happening within this organization.
Who's doing the meddling, though?
From what has been reported, ownership.
But
ownership,
the owners
wanted
don't
to
know
name...
anything about football.
Yeah, that's the
be
problem.
Be an
meddling.
Owner and sit down and enjoy the fruits of labor and the richness that comes with being an owner.
Exactly.
So Mike White aside, Zach Wilson aside, one thing that is a major concern for me with this team is their defense. The Colts ran all over. Like, the Jets couldn't stop anything last night. They allowed 532 yards of total offense. They're last in yards allowed in the NFL. And Robert Saleh came over as a defensive coordinator from the San Francisco 49ers.
You brought him up.
Where is the defense?
You brought him up,
team?
Evan. Let's listen to what Robert Saleh had to say on the loss to the Colts.
Well, first off, they were thrown in the fourth quarter, still had all their starters in, so they were trying to score. So they didn't take their foot off the gas. But as far as the defense, we're going to get looked at. We got the whole weekend to evaluate and try to figure this out. The run game is what's gotten us two out of these 3 weeks. Felt really good about the way we defended the run last week, but when you can't defend a run, good luck, obviously. So,
did I hear correctly that he said they had their starters in, so they were trying to score?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they supposed to do?
Well, they were up 40-something to
it's
7
not, okay,
at some
okay, so
point.
Here's what I'll tell you, Max.
42-10?
Here's what I'll tell you. It's not my job to stop my team from scoring. It is your job to stop me.
Oh, that's too much to ask. You're asking the Jets to stop a team from scoring?
Come on. Then you come in the press conference, and you say they had their start. Yeah, and you had joys in too. So,
but
now,
by the way, you know what's crazy about it?
I know we're destroying the Jets.
Yeah,
and granted, there's a lot of history
okay,
here.
There's
really
a lot to destroy.
I see where you're going.
Because you know, when you get drafted and you go to a bad franchise that has bad habits for a long time, that don't turn around in one day. It doesn't turn around in one season. Like, it takes a minute. So, is it Robert Saleh or is it more Joe Douglas and how he's handling it from the top down? Well, because I feel like Robert Saleh is being handed a whole bunch of crap that he has to make work, and it just seems like there's nowhere else for him to go realistically this year.
Here's the way that I look at it, Jay, only through experience. I was 1-15 as a rookie. 12 months later, 16 months later, I was in the AFC Championship game. We brought in the right coaches with the same talent. The year 1-15, the next year, one game from making the playoffs. If we beat Detroit, Evan, in Detroit, we go to the playoffs.
I just don't
hire the right people and we wouldn't be having this conversation.
There's a book that's very famous, in a very famous sports book called The Sweet Science. It's written by a guy named A.J. Liebling, like one of the most famous sports books ever about boxing. And in it, he'd said boxing is like chess played on human bodies, but it's not. Boxing's not like chess played on human bodies. Football is chess played on human bodies. It's played by the coaches. The coaches are the players, and they move the pieces around. And I always thought of the NFL, Key, as a coach-driven league in the sense that the quickest way to success is you put the right coaching staff in. If you got the right head coach and coaching staff, you're going to be, at worst, respectable.
And another thing I was told many times over by – many professional or many head coaches have had success in this league. These owners and general managers, presidents of teams, they go on with the hot coach and a hot name instead of knowing that that guy's a good coach. They get the who's the hottest coach on the coaching candidate, and then you get a list. And they just look at that list instead of really doing what they need to do on the due diligence side. If you go back and you look at some of these coaches that, and I'm talking about the Tom Coughlins of the world, the Bill Parcells of the world, the Bill Belichicks, they were not hot head coaches. Bill Belichick was not a hot assistant coach when he got hired by the Cleveland Browns. He was not. Bill Parcells was not hot when he got hired by the New York Giants. They basically said, we're giving him the job because the other guy isn't any good. But we know he can coach and he can motivate and he can do these things. Opposed to looking at that list that's put out by everybody
every
year.
The Raiders.
You know?
The Raiders. The best thing that John Gruden did was bring Bisaccia in, who everyone likes because apparently he can coach.
Yes.
So you're saying Robert Saleh is not the right coach?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if he's the right coach. I have no idea. But I can tell you, like he said, Matt Rhule was there at once upon a time. And Matt Rhule got, they decided to get a job to, what was it, Adam Gase instead?
Jay, you know what I just heard from Key?
That
Robert
Saleh is not the right guy.
You know what I just heard from Key?
What?
The vaccination question. What Key said? Are you vaccinated? Yes. Anything other than yes means no.
No.
Is Robert Saleh the right coach?
I don't know. That means no.
You know what Key just told you? That's a personal matter. I'm not going
to. To be honest with you, to keep 100 with you,
yeah.
I don't think you're the right dude. But that's just
I know. Yeah, yeah. I
wanted him to be the Giants coach when he was available, when he was a D coordinator. I was thinking, yeah, that's the kind of guy the Giants should get. But, you know, maybe
because when I look at what you're working with, he's working with bad dudes, man.
Yeah.
When you're working with bad dudes,
it's hard to tell.
Like a Dwight Freeney type,
yeah.
It is going to be, you're going to be a great
Keyshawn,
head coach. Keyshawn,
J. Will, and Max, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide. You can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract, all on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless 5G capable device required actual availability. Coverage and speed may vary. Speaking of Dwight Freeney, here he is, ladies and gentlemen. You know him, 7-time Pro Bowler. Dwight Freeney. Dwight, thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
What's going on, Max? Keyshawn, what's happening?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, everything. I can't call it. Everything is good over here. Everything is good.
Yeah, I was just talking about you. I don't know if you was hearing me, but I was just telling the fellas, when you have Dwight Freeney on your defense looks different.
You look smart.
You look real.
That's a good defensive coordinator.
You look really, really small. He can call defenses.
He spins around a dude. It's, oh, you're a genius defensive coordinator.
Exactly.
You watched the game. You had a chance to watch the game last night with the Jets, man. What's wrong with the damn defense?
Well, I think the thing is this. You can't fix something that's broken in 1 year. You know, and I think that for them, they have to develop a culture of defense. You know, sometimes you have to be able to get all of the personnel that fits your scheme and type of defense. All right. Just because you have a defensive great mind coming in, he was at San Francisco and all the things that they did at San Francisco, it took them some time to build the right type of personnel so that they can go out and execute the game plan so that they can win games on defense. The Jets have not done that, right? They have one piece, right? But they don't have enough pieces to make it successful. And this is not a one player, one coach fix. This is all the way around, from the D tackles who they have to the linebackers, putting guys in the right positions so that they can excel on defense, so he can be who he was, hopefully, at the San Francisco 49ers. But right now, it's too early. Like, you know, everybody wants, you know, the immediate fix. It takes time to build a culture.
You see, Dwight, I said that before, but and that is practical. That is the actual approach that somebody realistically should be having about this team. But how do you manage all the fire that comes along with a role like this for Robert Saleh, right? Each and every day, every word is being parsed. Every action is being critiqued. Like, how do you manage that mentally?
Well, you're going to have to deal with it, and people have to understand it, and people are going to have to be patient. I get it. The Jets have been garbage for how long, right? Hadn't won since, you know, I don't even know. The Ryan was, buddy, not Buddy Ryan, but
Rex.
Shoot. Yeah, yeah, since he was there. They hadn't won any real games, so I understand, you know, the frustration of the Jets fans and the and fan base and the people are watching. But the truth is you have to be able to give a coach time, and that coach has to be patient as well, all right? Nothing's going to happen overnight. You know, that rarely ever happens. So, yes, it's going to be part of it, you know, part of the job, especially in New York, right? It's going to come. You lose a game by 20, 30, whatever, you're going to get crucified in the media. That is what it is. But as long as those who are above him understand, the general manager, the owner, look, it's going to take some time. As long as the head coach understands, it's going to take some time. We get it. The National Football League is not for long, and you want results immediately. Well, I'm sorry, but in this case with the Jets, it's not going to happen immediately.
Ever. It won't happen ever, as a matter of fact. You want results eventually. I'm sorry. For the case of the Jets, you have to be more patient. Eventually is not long enough.
Yes.
Dwight
yes.
Freeney, seven-time Pro Bowler, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Dwight, the Indianapolis Colts traveled by ground last night, not by air. Should that be the recipe for their success moving forward, even though they acquired a big arm in Carson Wentz?
Keyshawn, absolutely, man. And this is the thing. I've been telling people this, you know, from day one when they got Carson Wentz. Look, I get it. Quarterback league. Everybody wants to throw the ball a million times, you know, per game, you know, whatever. Look what's happening in the Kansas City Chiefs situation. They should be running the ball, you know, 80 more times than they are. And they're throwing the ball every single down because they're in love with the long ball, in love with the big play. Same thing here. You know, you have to go and sit there and say, look, who do we have, right? We don't have a whole bunch of weapons from a wide receiver standpoint, okay? We have a big, bruising offensive line. We have one of the best running backs in the league. Run the ball. This isn't the Colts from 2005 and 6 where you had Peyton, you can throw the ball 50 times. This is Carson Wentz, and I think Carson Wentz is a good player, right? But he's not Peyton. You know, he's not Tom. He's not one of those elite guys who you can just say, here, take the ball and just throw. You need to run the ball so you can have balance, so those safeties can come up, those linebackers can come up, and now try to stop Jonathan Taylor. And then when you do that, you start play action, you know, things start opening up. Now those safeties and those linebackers start second guessing the reads. Now all of a sudden tight ends are wide open. It makes Carson Wentz like life so much easier. And that's what the Colts need to do from now on. Okay, no more throwing the ball 50 times. That's done.
Hey, Dwight. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say, Dwight, do the Colts need to make the playoffs for Frank Reich to keep his job, considering the moves he made for Carson Wentz?
No, I don't think so. No? I think, you know, once again, we're talking about having patience. You know, Frank had made the playoffs with this team before. Yes, this isn't the greatest start in the world, but sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side, okay? Just look at what happened with the Detroit Lions and Jim Caldwell. All of a sudden, Jim Caldwell, they didn't make the playoffs. Detroit decided, you know what, let's get rid of Jim and bring somebody else in. And they went non-existent, right, for the last couple of years. After that, you don't necessarily have to always fire a guy because you didn't make the playoffs. There's reasons why. All right. They had a tough rash of injuries coming up in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. They played some really tough teams and they played them very tough. All right. Those games could have, for the most part, went either way. All right. But I do know Frank and I do know the culture over there in Indianapolis, and the players love him. You know, the coaches love him. The ownership loves him. Now they just have to go out and win games, and you see what they're capable of doing. They just have to start beating good teams now, right? Not just beating up on the bad teams.
The Rams got better this week when they went out and traded for Von Miller, and I was thinking to myself, will life be easier for Aaron Donald and Fowler now that Von Miller is there? Much like I would assume life was easier for you when Robert Mathis and you joined forces.
Well, I think it should be easier. in a sense. Okay, now what I mean by that is, okay, you got Vaughn screaming on the other side. All right, now that quarterback can't step back, and you got Aaron Donald coming up like a beast in the middle, right? And that's what, you know, a dream from a defensive line perspective, a rushman perspective, is to have more guys to hit the quarterback, because you don't know who you're going to double team, and you don't know where you're going to slide the protection. No one knows. So what happens is, you know, a lot of teams say, you know what, forget it. We're not throwing the ball. We're going to run the ball, you know, run the ball way more than we normally would, because we can't block these guys, right? So me and Robert, we would come into games and play Tennessee or Jacksonville, and they only throw the ball 14 times or 16 times and run the air out of the ball because they felt like we just can't protect. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen to Aaron, you know, and they keep throwing the ball. And I doubt that will happen based on how the NFL is now, where they like to throw the ball, you know, 90% of the time. So I think this is a great fit for the Rams, man. And Aaron Donald and Vaughn Miller and those boys, man, they should have a field day. Field day. Mm.
Dwight, thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Y'all boys take care.
All right, Big Freak.
There it is. 7-time Pro Bowler Dwight Freeney on the Goodyear Hotline. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into a football doubleheader Sunday as the Ravens host the Vikings, followed by Chargers at Eagles. Coverage begins at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. A response, an entire sport will be watching. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Key texting us pictures of...
Man, but that's New York City.
Couch on the subway.
He just texted Jay and me a picture of an interior of a New York City subway, and there's a couch on it.
It's a white leather couch.
It's a white leather couch, to be fair.
On the subway. That's nasty.
Desmond, man, you better be glad you all live here, dog. That's for
New York
damn
is great.
Sure.
New York is great. I love New York.
So much random stuff.
Born and bred. Love L.A., too, though, I'm not going to lie.
What up, Des?
What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing today?
Hey, I saw your SportsCenter hit. I see you looking right again. I see you with the ascot on, the scarf.
Des, let me do something real quick.
Go ahead.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including Heisman winner ESPN college football analyst Desmond Howard. College game days in Cincinnati for the Bearcats in Tulsa. Continue. Carry on, gentlemen.
I gotta get that in. I got you.
You know.
Hey, Des, you're gonna be there watching the Cincinnati game and everything. Yeah. How do you expect Cincinnati to respond when things didn't go the way that they wanted it to? I would assume by now being ranked six instead of in the top four on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Well, guys, I got in town yesterday and I went to the football building and got a workout in and saw Luke Fickell. And I tell you what, Luke Fickell, his coaching staff and his team, they're fired up. You know, they're fired up because I believe that they think they should be ranked higher than number six. And I believe they're going to respond well. Guys, they're going to go out there and try to prove a point. You know, they've done everything that they could do at this point. You know, they beat two Power Five teams. They beat Indiana. They beat Notre Dame, which was the one we were all pointing at. Like, man, if Cincinnati beats Notre Dame, man, they're going to be in the college football playoff, right? They're going to be at least ranked high enough that they should be considered. And I don't think being number six is a high enough ranking. So, and I think they feel the same way. They feel like they've been slighted. And so they want to come out there and make a statement tomorrow. They understand that at this point, don't forget, they don't have anybody left on their schedule that's ranked. So style points will matter going down the stretch for Cincinnati. So I think they're going to have a monster game tomorrow.
Dez, what side are you on? Are you on the side that you believe Cincinnati deserves to be in that upper echelon, that top four? Or are you a part of the side that says, I see them, they definitely earned it, but talent-wise, it's not in the top four?
You know, that's a real good question. I believe because just of the momentum and things like this, they don't happen in a vacuum. Meaning when you have a group of five team, you start to talk about should they be in the college football playoff or should they at least be in the top four. It's not something that just took place in 2021. Meaning these things, they build from momentum from previous years. So this is something that Luke Fickell, his coaching staff, and his program has been building at least since last year. So people have been talking about Cincinnati being a potential playoff team since 2020, if not 2019. Therefore, going into this season, we're like, okay, is this going to be the year? We're not really talking about any other group of five teams. It's really been the focus has been on Cincinnati because of what they've been able to build. So they carried that momentum from last season. Don't forget, they played in the bowl game against Georgia, and without a bogus call, probably would have beat the Georgia Bulldogs in the bowl game if they played them in. But you're starting to see them against now these Power Five teams. You see how they compete. And you say, okay, maybe they belong. So what they do, they bring that momentum to the 2021 season. And like I said, you look at their schedule. Okay, they got Indiana. They got Notre Dame. And they're undefeated. They've handled their business. But still, they see themselves sitting at number six. So I believe because of their body of work that they at least earned the right to be at the very least, number four in the college football rankings.
Mm. So outside of this Cincinnati-Tulsa game, Dez, what game should everybody be watching for this weekend?
Ooh, well, Key, I tell you what, we got some intriguing games. We really do. I think Auburn versus Texas A&M is a very, very interesting game. You're looking at an Auburn team that some people believe that they play their best football in the month of November. And if that's true and they're able to handle their business against A&M, then the Iron Bowl, Alabama versus Auburn at the end of the regular season, is going to be monstrous. So if Auburn's in a position where they can start to play spoiler, you know, in November. And you're looking at an A&M team that the quarterback, Calzada, you know, he's been playing okay, but he played out of his mind against Alabama, and they beat Alabama. Since then, he's been okay. His numbers have been like less than 200 yards a game passing, a couple of interceptions, but they've been able to still win games despite those performances. Now you go up against an Auburn team that's really getting better. Bo Nix is coming into his own. I think he's really starting to understand the expectations that are placed upon him by the new head coach, Brian Harsin, in that system. Tank Bigsby is running the ball extremely well, and they can get after the quarterback on defense. So this is going to be a really interesting matchup. Keep an eye on Auburn versus Texas A&M. That's one of the games you guys can watch. Then Michigan State versus Purdue. They're only a three-point favorite on the road. You're looking at a Michigan State team that just won a big game against the in-state rival, the Wolverines. They turn on the TV Tuesday night. They're ranked number three in the country. And then they have Kenneth Walker III, their
Heisman
running back,
watch,
who's the Heisman front runner. So they got everything going their way. They're feeling good. Everyone's patting them on their back. Hey, you guys are great. And now they got to travel to Purdue, who does not mind playing the role of spoiler. Don't forget, like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago when Iowa was number two in the country, Purdue made really, really easy work of the Iowa Hawkeyes. So this is kind of a dangerous game for Sparty traveling to Purdue.
Oh, Desmond, what do you know about the Heisman Trophy? Come on, man. Leave that to someone who knows about that. Yeah, this dude scored 13 touchdowns in about two quarters. It's crazy. It's crazy. On that stage, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Desmond. Of course, Desmond.
Yes, sir.
Des was that dude.
Oh, yeah. Mel Tucker. So you just finished talking about Michigan State. Is he long-term for Michigan State? Mm.
I tell you what, they got some deep pockets down in Baton Rouge, man. And they may want that guy. And I don't think that Sparty's going to be able to match the contract that I keep hearing that LSU is willing to offer Mel Tucker. So that's going to be interesting. And he's a guy, I mean, you know, he's done a really good job up there in East Lansing. But if he sits out there and say, hey, you know, I'm not going anywhere, well, he did the same thing at Colorado, and then within 24 hours he was on the plane at East Lansing. So you can't listen to whatever he says about not wanting to go to LSU because, I mean, his track record says, you know, that's just not going to be the case. He does something different than what he says in that regard. But I don't know. I think they're going to throw a big number at Mel Tucker, and he's going to have
I mean, this is the planet Earth.
Right?
This is the planet Earth. If you say, I'm staying put, but someone offers you 2-3X, of course, I mean, you know, let's get realistic. That is Desmond Howard.
Deuces, I'm out.
Desmond Howard, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN College football analyst. Des, thanks for jumping on with us this morning, as always.
Thanks, Des.
My pleasure. Guys, thanks for having me, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Guys, Brown safety John Johnson said of Odell Beckham Jr., who, if you ever talked to his teammates when he was on the Giants, wherever his teammates, he seems to be pretty popular in the locker room. Here's the quote from John Johnson. I feel like the majority of this locker room would love to have him in this building flat out. Key, how will this latest report from Adam Schefter and Dan Graziano of the Browns are working on his release? How does that play in this locker room, Browns locker room, you think?
Well, number one, Odell's going to get what he is looking for. When you get fed up sometimes as a football player, you don't want to deal with the situation, whether it's the quarterback, the coaching staff, whatever the case may be. Inside the locker room, OBJ is going to have some allies that are on his side, no question about it, and Baker will have some on his side. But who will have the greater? I believe that it's OBJ. When you are a young, kind of like a pop culture, I don't want to call him an icon, but has that, you know, that swag. And
one of the most recognizable players in the league.
Yeah, feel. People kind of roll with you. If you notice, LeBron James, one of the most famous athletes in the world, tweeted out OBJ will be free, or free OBJ, or whatever he said. He doesn't even play football. He's just a fan of the Cleveland situation, but he also didn't say free Baker Mayfield. You know, so it's kind of like you see where this is going. And not only that, Landry, who's on the Cleveland Browns team, is OBJ's best friend in the whole wide world. You don't think that he's going to be side-eyed in the quarterback? And you don't think who he's well-respected in that locker room with all those people, and he is the guy that they're going to follow his leadership? And if he says that, man, that dude can't play, Everybody else going to be like, that dude can't play.
Jay, how much of it in your experience in the locker room, like real recognize real, right? Like game recognize game. Mm-hmm. So when LeBron tweets about Odell, it's like a ballers only tweet, right? Like that dude's I'm a baller. That's a baller. Game recognize game. How much of that plays into all this in your experience in a locker room where Odell is a proven baller and Baker Mayfield is a guy? He's a quarterback. He's a starting quarterback, but he's not a baller. How much of that plays into this, do you think?
What do you mean by that? Like in how other people perceive those two?
Yeah. Yeah, the way the locker room sees it. That dude's like, for example, you could take a guy like Jamal Crawford, right?
Baller.
Crawford, baller. But at various times, like, wait, is he shooting too much? Is he playing defense? Isn't that? But everyone knows if you just put baller. Your eyeballs on Jamal Crawford, that's a baller, right? Mm-hmm. You look at Odell, that's a baller. Baker Mayfield is a nice quarterback. There's a difference, right?
Yeah, the dynamic's different, though, because in basketball, a lot of things rely upon the point guard, but not as much as they rely upon the quarterback in football. Uh-huh. So Baker's not a baller, but he's still the guy, right? In a very blue-collar-like community, working hard, you know, everybody puts it in, right? So almost in a way, the OBJ personality, even though there are a lot of fans in Cleveland, but it kind of clashes with the culture of how Cleveland look at Cleveland people, right? It's a little bit different. But the only way Baker can make amends on this whole thing is there's nothing he can say to Jarvis Landry. There's nothing he can say to people in the locker room. He's got to win.
Just gotta win, baby.
If you win, then there's nothing that any of the haters can say about you in the locker room. Because you're winning, and you're at the position of power.
The correlation between winning and who wins in a larger sense, like this whole kind of contest in a way of like whose fault is it or who, it's crazy because if Odell now leaves and the Browns just get healthy and start to win, it's going to look like, aha, Baker was right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It always that way.
If now, so Odell, from his point of view, more than how many targets is he going to get? Is he going to be the number one guy? Raiders, for example. He's got to be looking at, where am I going to win? Because that will prove the point, right? Is that the Rams? To me, that's the Rams.
Yeah, it's the Rams. But, you know, a lot of the pressure is still on Baker Mayfield regardless.
That's what Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, said earlier.
Oh, lots. Oh, my goodness. Well, because think about it, like if there are teammates have, and to my knowledge, always liked Odell Beckham. I mean, I covered him when he was with the Giants.
Yeah, same.
So if there are people there that are friends with or fans of or like Odell Beckham, his best friend in the world plays
exactly.
That team, obviously. And if they don't believe in Baker Mayfield all the way, then it could cause a problem. Baker's going to have to play at a high level and show that he wasn't the problem.
See that, and that's. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes. I remember when I moved on from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you know I had probably 97% of the locker room like, man, he didn't even do anything. Like, what the hell are we doing? And he had a couple dudes that was like, whatever, a kid, blah, blah. But they getting ready to get you too at some point. You just siding with them, and they thought that they were the coach. Thought that they were going to roll and be able to show we don't. And it didn't go that way. You know, it went the other way. And in this situation, Baker has control of it to make it go the right way to lift that pressure off of him. Now, if it goes the same way it's been going, now what? Whose fault is it?
See, if Baker were Justin Herbert, he'd be fine. But then if Baker were Justin Herbert, I don't think he'd have had a problem with Odell in the first place.
Nada.
Right? So that's what I mean by game recognized game. I said this on First Take, you know, years ago when Odell was first going to Cleveland. And I looked at that roster and I thought, Odell, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, they got Kareem Hunt. They had Njoku at the time, the tight end. Yeah. I was just looking at all the ballers and I thought, the key is going to be Baker's going to have to show these dudes that he is one of them. In other words, yeah, I'm a baller too, or there could be a problem. And he had a good year last year. Like, he was good. They won 10, 11 games. They went to the playoffs.
So good they didn't make a long-term commitment to him.
Because he wasn't great. He didn't show. Jay, to your point, like quarterback different than point guard. I get it in that respect. But he didn't distinguish himself the way Justin Herbert has, Lamar Jackson has, Josh Allen has.
It just didn't translate and carry over into this year.
He gave you 7 games.
But would never quite on the next level. Like, never in the bucket. You think he was in the bucket with the premier guys ever?
No, but I think those sometimes when you're looking for somebody who has potential and they start hitting different marks that are higher than what they've hit and they hit it a little bit more consistently.
Trajectory, you start to predict.
Like, you seem like you're trending this way.
Yeah.
I just, what do you guys think is going to happen to Baker? I mean, I know the 50-year option is fine, but, I mean, you got your game at the Bengals and you got at the Patriots. You got a lot.
They're going down the wrong road right now. They've got to win some games and get on a hot streak. Or otherwise, if they lose the season for whatever reason, a lot of it is going to fall on Baker Mayfield because OBJ is essentially gone. He's not there. So you got 9 games left without him there. Okay? He wasn't there in the beginning. You were winning. He came back. Y'all started sputtering along. Maybe one or two games was sputtering along. Now he's not there anymore. So you got about 8 or 9 games left.
Yeah, that's what I love. It's like, as I say, with Stafford. All right, Stafford, we're going to find out in the playoffs, right? Was it you or Detroit, right? Because now you're in a good situation. We're about to find out about Baker and Odell. You got to love sports, man. All right, Browns and Bengals and the rest of Week 9 in the NFL is coming up next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.